Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to Skincare with Friends.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Nia Patton, of Nia Patton fame.
Can you imagine? The Nia Patton.
Hi. Yeah.
I heard the story. It was probably an urban legend, but
About me being famous?
Yeah, no, it was Gwyneth Paltrow and her friend going into a yoga class, and the receptionist was obviously, you know, not of Gwyneth's generation, probably didn't recognise her.
No.
And was like, "Are you new to yoga?"
Well,
she basically said, "I invented yoga."
She didn't invent yoga.
No, that's correct. She didn't. But I guess she brought it to the white girl masses, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What don't a like tossy to thing that. To say. Maybe she did, but I don't want her to have done.
No. Terrible, isn't it? So just don't be like that.
No. I don't have a woman coming up to me in playgroup saying, I know you. I follow you on Instagram.
Oh, really?
I don't know who you are.
That's cool.
Hello.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Has she unfollowed you now? That'd be brilliant.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. She was terrible.
You're a dick in
she
real life.
She was really tired and her skin tone was
I thought you were talking about the mother.
No.
Oh.
Me. Her talking about me. Her slagging me off behind my back.
Yeah.
In her head. Which is what obviously I assume that everyone does.
I have days like that.
Yeah. So today I thought we'd talk about under eye area.
We've all got one too.
We've got two eyes and only one under eye area.
I actually look like Mike Wazowski from...
Mike Wazowski!
Yeah, oh, so cute. Yeah, under eye areas, because I started it, I was looking through your Aesthetician magazine, which is really a thrilling read.
It is actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like it, it's free. So
yeah,
it's
no,
like,
it's
cool.
Really good. But we were just talking about how to treat the periorbital area around the eyes to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I suppose you kind of need to be mindful of that as you get older.
It's like the first place it starts going.
Exactly,
I
so
found,
it's
anyway.
Never too soon to start taking care of that shit, really.
Yeah.
Is it?
Like, after I had my second child, it just suddenly seemed to go downhill really quickly.
That's because you slept 40 minutes a night, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And your periorbital area went, what the hell?
Went, screw you.
Yeah, what
and
have
I
you
had,
done
like,
to
massive,
us?
Like, bags under my eyes, like, literal sort of...
Puffy or dark?
Puffy. Not dark. No, yeah. They were just, like, swollen. As if I'd been...
Punched.
It was like, you know, like, I likened it to a frog's neck. When a frog goes, and it swells up, it's like I wake up in the morning and one side would be really swollen.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's gone now. I don't think it's there at all, really.
No.
Just wrinkly. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's better than puffy, I think.
Mine's the other way, kind of sunken.
Hollowed.
Yeah.
It doesn't look hollowed.
No, but that is definitely starting.
Yeah.
You know?
And it looks better because you've got rid of that bit of pigmentation pretty much, haven't you?
Oh, it's still there, though.
It's a tiny...
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you're tired now, though.
No.
No.
It was so badly placed. But then pigmentation is badly placed. Like we did discuss the MAC MPI.
At least we haven't got a moustache.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
That is
the
sad fact.
I know, yeah. And it's not our fault. There's nothing you can do about it. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
So this article in aestheticsjournal.com says... Audrey Hepburn had it right when she highlighted the cosmetic importance of the periorbital area, which she didn't. One of her famous quotes said, "The beauty of a woman must be seen from in her eyes, because that is the doorway to her heart." That's what she said.
I don't think she was giving
she wasn't talking about
lecture on
periorbital right
care.
Eyes.
Yeah.
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 She was just saying that women's eyes are nice.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, so they've taken that and run with it.
Yeah, they really stretched that.
Yeah.
We have a child.
My daughter's just arrived to grunt in the background. How do I... How do I blinking pause this machine?
Just press record again, I don't know.
So now we're up in my bedroom because the three-year-old wouldn't go away. So we're still talking about eye wrinkles and eye problems. And I think it's probably a problem that lots of people have when they get to about, I don't know, when did you start getting eye problems? Probably 35.
Well, it depends what they are. Are we talking about bags or wrinkles?
Wrinkles.
Oh, yeah. Like
30s, isn't it?
Early 30s, I guess, yeah.
But, you know, you can have dark circles from when you're born, really, can't you?
Yeah, I went to primary school with a girl who had, purple. Mm. Purple under eyes.
And that's just genetic, then. There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Really.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate.
So, let's talk about stuff we can do something about.
Yeah, hopefully we can do something about it. But it doesn't sound great, really, from this article. Why periorbital skin needs care. It's often one of the top areas patients will want to rejuvenate. While there is a variety of modalities, from anti-wrinkle injections, so that means Botox, dermal fillers, laser resurfacing, PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma. Do you know what that is?
No.
So that's, you know, they call it like the vampire facial.
Right.
Where you get blood taken out of your body, mm-hmm. and then they fractionate it, mm-hmm. get rid of all the red blood cells, mm-hmm. sort of microneedling, sort of try and put it back in the skin. I don't know if they inject it in, I don't know, maybe. But, and then it's got like all these growth factors and stuff to try and get the skin regenerating collagen.
Okay.
It's supposed to be quite good. Important to know what topical agents are there, blah, blah, blah. So when we think about aesthetic concerns, the most common things include dark circles, puffiness, fine lines and wrinkles. So they're all quite different and they'll have different treatments. But yeah, so the skin's the thinnest next to your eye. So the skin on your nose is typically 3.3 times thicker than the skin in your upper eyelid. Mm-hmm. And the skin of your forehead is 2.8 mm-hmm. times thicker. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very delicate and tends to wrinkle. So it's the kind of thing that if you're having a bad day or if you're not feeling well, it shows in your under eyes, I think, when I'm a bit hungover, whatever. Yeah. My under eyes look a bit shit.
Yeah.
And most risk for UV damage as well. So you make sure you got your sun cream on your under eye as well.
The arm just fell off my sunglasses.
Not now.
No, just today. Because I was holding my daughter and she went, "Oh, mummy, it's in your ear." And I was like, "What are you talking about, love?" And it was just the arm.
I haven't
got any other sunglasses.
No, I've got some really scratched ones I can't see out of.
Yeah, they're Ray-Bans, but I've had them for about 2 years. I just can't I can't look after expensive stuff, so I'll just...
I'm not that kind of person. They're just in the bottom of my handbag, loose.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I just
But 2 years is all right for shades, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah. I'm just going to buy cheap now.
Go to TK Maxx.
Okay.
So the topical treatments that there are available for... I mean, it just says for the under eye in this article.
Yeah. Yes, it's not talking too much about the actual wrinkles, per se.
I think it's wrinkles that they're thinking about.
Under eye wrinkles, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So retinoids is the first one. There was a study by Park in 2016 that looked at the efficiency of retinoids treating under eye wrinkles. Mm-hmm. So it was a 0.1 tretinoin cream, which you wouldn't feel that keen to stick on your under eye, but that's what they used in the study.
Yeah, it's funny because that's not what they tell you to do in any. Keep it away from your eye area.
But no, do it.
Do it, just put it.
Do it.
Really close to your lash line.
It's going to hurt. Yeah, but you know, you can put it underneath, like on the very contour of your eye bone. You definitely can, you just don't want to get it in your eye.
That's the thing, I think, with the tretinoin that I'm using, I let it sink in for like 25 minutes anyway. It's literally the first thing I put on my face.
So you're not like
running
off and smearing your face
exactly
immediately when there's still a layer of cream. Let,
something like that has
you
to...
You just let it absorb, like treat it with respect kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was the results of this study? Wrinkles decreased by 21% after 12 weeks using the tretinoin.
Okay.
The study compared the improvement to wrinkles to a laser, the IR-YAG laser, an IPL therapy, so they treated the other eye to compare it. And they found that the results were very, very similar.
Okay.
So that's nice. So tretinoin, 0.1% is strong.
That is really strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
12 weeks of it and your eye wrinkles will be 12% better, most likely.
That's bonkers, because
yeah.
I don't know if I could do it. Using that strength every day? I mean, do they say every day for
probably,
12 weeks?
Probably, yeah.
How? How did you do that?
They just did it. They made them do it for the study.
Oh, my God. I'm actually now, my eyes are watering, remembering the pain of tretinoin burn.
Yeah.
It's not to be diced with.
Yeah, you do it once and you never forget that.
I didn't touch it for about 10 days afterwards.
No,
it's really bad. Imagine having to use that every day.
Yeah.
I still don't use it every day.
No. Are you using it regularly, though?
Every 3 days I put tretinoin on under the eyes.
Yeah.
Because that's where the hyperpigmentation is, so not actually for wrinkles. Eye wrinkles per se.
Have you noticed your eye wrinkles improving?
No, because really I feel sometimes, especially if it, you know, I've had like tretinoin burn from it, that
your
area just
dry.
Feels so much drier and more sensitive.
Yeah.
If anything, they feel worse.
Yeah, exactly. who are these people who can just do that? I don't get it.
I don't know. And
I'll have a laser on one eye and then tretinoin on the other eye.
God.
Jesus.
These people were clearly paid a lot of money to just take 12 weeks off
work.
Yeah,
they were just like, well, you're going to get free laser, so
and you can only go out at night time.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, they always down... I'm like, yeah, the wrinkles improved. 21%, is that perceptible?
I think 21% is perceptible.
Yeah, just about visible.
For sure.
So they had a laser and it was only 21%.
I'm quite surprised by that.
I know, yeah. You'd wish for it to be more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Symptoms were mild in severity in all and did decrease towards the end of the treatment period.
Symptoms being pain and burning.
Mm. More than 30% experiencing adverse effects.
Mm.
This highlights how delicate the skin is. Well, no, it highlights how strong the product is, I would have said.
I mean, because we've been talking about using tretinoin, and I can't remember what percentage yours was when you were using.
I was 0.5%.
0.05.
0.05,
yeah. Yeah, and I was 0.025 when I started, and that was kind of... It was okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really
even
strong,
retinol, I find can be quite peely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else? So studies such as this have contributed to many cosmeceutical companies developing retinoids of a lower strength, such as 0.1%. Doesn't say what type of retinoid, specifically marketed for the periocular area. So you can use retinoids in your under eye. Go for it, they're saying.
Okay.
One can also counsel your patients that the skin becomes more accustomed, the adverse effects are less likely. So, you know, expect your under eye to become stupid dry for quite a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't get any product into the eye itself because it'll damage the surface of your eyeball.
Thanks for that. It does.
Yeah. So, I think tretinoin is going to be your best bet, basically, for under eye wrinkles. Or you can go for laser.
Yeah.
Have you seen what people look like after they've had their face lasered?
No.
Just no skin. Just all their skin's gone.
I'm thinking of the aftercare, first of all. So I'm thinking
you won't be able to leave the house for 10 days.
Yeah.
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 So I think you'd probably prefer to have a go on the tretinoin.
But even, I mean... I wouldn't even start with a tretinoin. Like, imagine if you're new to retinoids, and you're like, hey, I really want to bust my under-eye wrinkles.
But the study doesn't say anything about priming these people for a year in advance, does it?
But I would never start with tretinoin under the eye.
No. You'd go gran-active retinoid, 2%, and then you can go to 5%, and then have a little weak retinol.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, crazy people.
Good to know it works, though.
Yeah.
for under eye wrinkles?
If you're committed to getting rid of the wrinkles, that's an idea.
Okay.
Vitamin C is next, or antioxidants in general.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin C has been shown to reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles by promoting collagen and increasing skin tightness. Other antioxidants include vitamin E, B3, which is niacinamide, and green tea. And they are safe to use in the under eye area. Dermatitis is a possible side effect, so it might irritate.
Okay.
So it doesn't say that that's going to change your life.
Find vitamin C kind of quite irritating.
Yeah.
Again, I don't put that anywhere near my eyes, but maybe I should.
Yeah.
Do down the sides where the crow's feet are.
Yeah, but not underneath.
Not right underneath.
I'm pointing at my under eye.
Yeah, she's definitely pointing to her eye. Please believe me. No, I find that. But again, I'm using just the wrong kind of vitamin C. I think I've said many occasions I hate the vitamin C I'm using.
Which one is it? The stupid.
It's the Inkey List one. It's like it's like $6.99, but it's basically their version of the Asorbil 23% in silicone.
Oh.
And it's quite.
Is it worse than the ordinary one?
It's about the same in terms of.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not
horrible
it's,
texture.
It's not. It's actually a worse texture than the ordinary one, and it really pills. Mm. It doesn't go with anything. So right now, I use it loads because I can't bear to not use it. So I'm
so you're just trying to get rid of it,
going like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone
every night,
every day, every morning, and
you're wearing it all day.
Yeah.
What? Mm. How do you look normal?
I don't know. Do I?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not the nice fit. It, you know,
other
vitamin C's are available, but yeah.
I like the powder that the ordinary does because it's sort of dirt
cheap. Well, you mix it to your specification, then, don't you?
But it's confusing people.
Maybe they don't know what to mix it with.
Yeah, they don't know.
Right.
So yeah, anything with water in it is going to dissolve vitamin C. Mm-hmm. If you put it in with an oil, it's not going to. Because it's water soluble, it's not oil soluble. Mm-hmm. So you'll just have like the grains of the powder in suspended in the oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only got the water that's in your skin to dissolve in to get into the skin.
Okay.
So it's going to be much weaker than if you put it with something water based. So put it with something water based.
Okay.
Or maybe get some pH paper to check it.
All right.
People probably just like shut up. Don't do that.
Why?
Well, because normal people don't have pH paper, do they?
I think all the people listening now, you've just pushed your pH beliefs on us.
Yeah,
so much
I was I was seeing, how much is it to buy a pH meter, an electronic one? It's probably quite a lot of money.
Is it?
Like, yeah, I think 70 quid.
Mm-hmm. You'd just be testing the pH of everything.
Test the pH of everything.
Your children, you'd be testing the pH of their cheeks.
My cup of tea.
Yeah. You would, wouldn't you? We were talking about this earlier with strimmers.
pH.
Once you start
strimmers.
Strimming.
Yeah. Once you bought something for something, you're just strimming everything.
Yeah. Hayden
is strimming a cake.
Bought one of those drills that that hack out, you know, plaster.
Oh.
So he's hacked everything. Our house is hacked.
Why?
Yeah, it's got no plaster on.
Well,
I don't know how the house is standing up, to be honest. He's just drilled everything out because we're redecorating.
Yeah, like
anyway.
When I bought the water flosser.
Yeah, you've just
water flossed my head off.
Yeah.
Didn't
and then you
teeth.
Calm down. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you forget about it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like the steamer. Caffeine is another one.
I think that's
can reduce puffiness.
Yeah, so not really much to do with wrinkles, though, eh?
No, it's supposed to be for puffiness, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a study, but Boaventura,
okay,
it's a nice name,
yeah,
reviewed the supporting evidence and found that clinical studies that evaluated the efficacy of caffeine in the periorbital area were often tested in conjunction with other ingredients. It's the child coming again. I do apologise for the clicking noises in the background. It is therefore difficult to evaluate what effect caffeine has alone on the area and calls for further research to be done. So there is some research that it works, but quite often there's other ingredients in with it, so it's not
Yeah, and I know we've spoken about it before, but that...
It didn't work for me.
No, me either. No. Not at all. So the Ordinary had a caffeine and what
else? ECGC, I think it was called, mm-hmm. or EGCG, which is green tea
right.
extract. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't work. But then I guess, if you don't really have puffy eyes, I don't have puffy eyes.
No, but I did at the time when I...
Did you?
Well, right. yeah, it was during the puffy eye period when I bought every right. single thing that said puffy eyes on it.
Okay.
And nothing did anything.
Do you just find anything like a cooling gel or anything
yeah,
would work?
No, no.
Nothing?
So, 'cause just massaging it a lot would help, just because it was pushing the, you know, draining the lymph glands. But then I'd end up with sort of weirdly sort of...
flat eyes and then yeah. everything else was puffy.
Yeah, yeah, well that's
you pushed it somewhere
I wouldn't mind
else.
Anything being puffy apart from my under eye. And yeah, it was just kind of wrinkly and misshapen as if I... because I'd just been assaulting it and it just didn't look nice. Just less puffy. And then some days I'd wake up and it would look totally normal and drive me insane.
Yeah, I always find it gets bad when I'm dehydrated, though.
Yeah, well, if you've been eating sugary stuff and alcohol as
and
well,
salt.
Didn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, salt particularly, yeah.
But Kevin didn't
I love
work
a bit
for me,
of salt and alcohol.
I do as
my
well.
My favourite.
Yeah.
So
a margarita.
Really, yeah.
Salty alcohol.
With a crisp or two.
Yummy.
Oh, nice. But, it was a really distressing time. But now I'm fine, and I'm pregnant, so I can't have any of those things anyway.
No, not long to go till you can have some salty alcohol.
Mm. Sounds nice. So another thing we can have is growth factors. So there is a wealth of evidence suggesting that growth factors and cytokines have a rejuvenating effect on the improving wrinkles and photo-aged skin, which is sun-damaged skin,
okay.
which is what everyone's got, really. Periorbital wrinkles improved by 33% on average over a 6-month period. That's good.
But what are the growth factors?
So growth factors are stuff that your own cells make that deplete. You don't make as much as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them if you have PRP. That's mm-hmm. the stuff in the PRP that stops the wrinkles. You can buy epidermal growth factor, EGF. It's an ingredient there. Is a Revolution Skin. It's mm-hmm. like the super drug. Makeup brand, they've got like a sort of ordinary knockoff and they've got a growth factor serum. I don't know if it's any good. And then there was that serum that I talked about a while ago by a company called AQ Skin,
mm-hmm.
which is possibly made out of the
human embryos.
Foreskins.
Oh, yeah.
But not made out of foreskins. It's made out of
foreskin
cells that were derived from the foreskin and put in a petri dish and then allowed to multiply so they weren't necessarily...
Why foreskins?
Well, because you need, like stem cells.
Okay.
So they're going to come from embryos. And what other part of an embryo is discarded?
Okay.
Just, yeah, in America, they're getting rid of dozens of foreskins every... hour.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Yeah, I assume it's just a tissue that's discarded.
Is that really expensive? It sounds expensive.
It was. Yeah, it was like it was 140 quid or something like that.
Okay.
And it had 42% growth factors in it, so it was really high.
I just keep thinking of tiny little willy
skins. Little babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were having it done anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if the mother's got any money out of it. Or did they just sign a thing saying, you can have my son's foreskin?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it ethically dubious?
It does sound like the beginning of a science fiction film.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like someone can use... farming babies' willies.
Yeah. Like, what was that amazing film where no one can have babies?
Children of Men.
Yeah.
God. Mm. Children of God.
Children of Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good, really good
yeah,
film.
Yeah, it was. It was heartbreaking, wasn't
it? Was,
it
was, yeah. Yeah, okay. I just started thinking about Clive Owen.
Anyway.
Back to the podcast.
Yeah, so that stuff. And I was I was enjoying using it with... I roll my face with one of those pin rollers, which is really painful, and then put the peptides on the AQ Skin.
Okay.
It's a brand name. And it seemed to, like, the next day I'd be like, oh, God, you look nice today.
Really?
Yeah, it did seem to help.
It has an immediate effect.
Yeah, wow, yeah, like, straight okay. away.
If you...
I'm not good enough to remember to do it as regularly as I was supposed to.
Okay.
I kept forgetting. So it's not... I don't like sticking pins in my face.
Okay, it's taking the skin pins away from your face
yeah.
part. But the actual AQ Skin Serum, would that be something that you would use?
Yeah.
If money was no object?
Yeah, yeah, if you're rich, then yeah, that was probably the most likely thing to
really
help. Yeah,
okay.
Tretinoin, growth factors directly from a baby's penis. But yeah, people, this might be really offensive to some people. This might be really upsetting.
Well, they can just put their, they can just fast forward.
It's not me, I didn't invent it.
No.
I'm not doing anything to penises.
No.
I didn't pay for it, they sent it to me.
Hmm.
And I was really happy.
Yeah, great. I would be happy as well. Did you use it all up?
There is probably... It's probably
I know what you're like. Yeah, you're just...
Isn't it?
I'm looking at her. It is like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in this bedroom.
Yeah.
Just potions and bottles and...
Oh, it's gone.
Growth factors.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oprah Winfrey, I think, got in trouble for using it. Because it wasn't... I don't think they publicised the baby's willy part of it.
Mm.
I found it on the patent for the
okay.
product.
Right, so they were
yeah.
not transparent about using
no,
mini
they didn't come
skin?
Out. They didn't come out and say
right.
directly that. And I think I asked even the company and they said, it is not directly from foreskins. So,
yeah.
Which is probably not. It's probably derived from them very
yeah.
long, a while ago. Yeah, so it's got a lot of scientific evidence supporting the use of EGF for wrinkles. Yeah, there was some controversy about cancer, because if you've got cancer cells, growth factors stimulate growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would stimulate the growth of the cancer cells. But I think that would only be an issue if there is already cancer cells there.
Yeah.
So it's not going to... But if you Google it, you'll see some stuff about cancer.
Right,
that
okay.
comes up. Peptides is another thing. So there's a study by Revitas et al. In 2013, which evaluated topical tripeptide and hexapeptide on 10 patients... twice daily over a 12-week period. That's not enough people to study on, 10. And there was a 41% improvement in wrinkles and 29% improvement in under-eye hollows, 48% improvement in under-eye bags, and 39% improvement in dark circles.
Oh, wow.
That's good. But
that's a good all-rounder for
yeah,
peptides.
It's only 10 people that they checked it on. That's not very many.
Yeah.
But it sounds promising. But yeah, so buffet, that's probably a good one because that's got loads of different peptides in by the ordinary. And
I'm using my Matrixyl, but I don't
find it does anything. I never bothered with peptides really. I don't think it because it kind of interferes. Lots of things
with
interfere
everything.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of. Makes me not want to bother, just in case I'm not, you know.
But I did what you said and just did a mega peptides night.
Yeah, you have a peptides night.
Yeah.
But is that enough? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can have like an acid night and then the next night you could have a peptides and retinoid night.
Yeah.
So separating them completely and then have vitamin C in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So dark circles. The other thing. So I grabbed another study on dark circles by Fernanda Freitag and Tanya Sestari, and this is from 2007, but I think it was the one that I liked the look of the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there isn't any specific thing that is a dark circle. There's, you know, it can be a combination of several things. Or just pigmentation,
mm-hmm.
or just the fact that you've got hollows underneath your eyes naturally. So there's, you know, a few things that it could be that you could help with, or some things that you can't really do anything about, like pigmentation. Because some people just have really dark... It seems like Indian women seem to have, like, sort of pigmented areas mm-hmm. underneath their eyes. Mm-hmm. Or it could just be that you don't have much tissue underneath your eyes, so you just look a bit hollow. It doesn't look nice, though. It makes you look tired, doesn't it?
Can do.
Yeah.
I always think, like, you know when the famous Kardashians... When you see them with their, like, their full face of makeup on, and then
when they take the
really pretty one, Kim, when they take... She looks so much nicer with her makeup
lovely,
off.
Lovely, yeah. I love that pigmentation around the eye.
Yeah.
I think it looks really pretty.
I think she looks beautiful.
Even and, like, more dramatic
about
somehow,
10 years younger.
Yeah, like natural and pretty. And
yeah. So I think it's something... I mean, that would piss you off if you had it and you didn't like it, but to me, I think...
It could be beautiful, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That's just makeup, though, like, just plenty of makeup to...
Yeah, she's got enough makeup.
For sure.
So, what does it say in this study? So, it is... It's although considered a phenomenon within the limit of physiology, patients, especially women, are really bothered and concerned about it.
Yeah, of course.
Even relating the presence of dark circles with significant impairment on the quality of their life.
Because this is why. You look tired. You look tired.
Yeah,
you look really tired today. You look so tired.
I just didn't put concealer under my eye. I'm not tired
at
all.
That's what I look like. That's what you look like also, but you're a fucking man.
You're a bitch.
You can say
it.
You look tired. Don't ever, anyway.
Never say that. Didn't you find there's always certain people who say that?
Yeah.
Like, it's always the culprits.
Yeah, and also they take... great pleasure in it as well. I honestly think those people do take pleasure in.
Yeah, there was this particular woman who was trying to sleep with my boyfriend some time ago. and she was like, Nia, oh my god, are you all right? I'm really worried about you.
Oh no, you're not.
Yeah, I know. You just wanted to make me look.
You're worried about my boyfriend's penis. Oh my god, what a bitch.
Oh my god.
So she would tell you
veiled compliments.
You were tired, so you'd go home and sleep, and then she could.
So she could sleep with my boyfriend.
Cool.
I think she did as well.
Did she?
I think so.
Oh my god.
Found out afterwards. Long time afterwards.
She didn't tell you, did she?
No, he did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there's no think about it. He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, bye bye.
Yeah.
Fine.
Anyway. So that proves the theory. People just that tell you that are bitches.
Yeah.
Or bastards.
Like, why would you say something like
I don't
that?
Know.
Just say you look really beautiful.
Yeah.
Just don't tell people they look tired. Then that's not going to help them.
No.
Set.
No.
Yes. So what? So these people are basically saying it's not life threatening. So the thing is with doctors is they're really only concerned with things that are life threatening.
Yes.
Or, you know, life limiting. So dark circles, stuff like that doesn't get researched as much as, say, heart disease,
mm-hmm.
funnily enough.
For sure, yeah.
But it's really...
Imagine if, like, you were running a marathon for dark circle charity.
But it is really annoying.
Absolutely.
Those women who've got it,
it
men,
is, yeah.
It's just, like, desperately upsetting.
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah. So, you know, doctors may not be sympathetic towards... If you went to just a normal doctor, they'll probably just say, well, are you going to die?
Yeah.
No.
Get more sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so a study carried out by Gupta et al. Evaluated the prevalence of dissatisfaction with the appearance of skin of 32 women with eating disorders.
Wow.
And they found that 9% of women below the age of 30 were dissatisfied with the darkness under their eyes, compared to 38% of women with eating disorders. What does that mean?
That you're more likely to have dark circles if you have an eating disorder.
Were more likely to be concerned about it.
Mm.
Mm. So 9% of women are dissatisfied with their under eyes, and 38% of women with eating disorders.
I would have thought there was more than that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I don't. I don't. I'm going to dismiss that study with only 32 people in it. Nah.
My friend, who is half Indian, she used to get people commenting on it, like, and it was amazing because so it's lucky she's so beautiful as well, so she can just, you know, swooshed her beautiful
glossy hair.
But it's amazing how many men would
what
bring
for?
It up. I don't know. It's really strange. Yeah. Just like, God, you've got really dark circles under your eyes. She was like,
you've got a really small brain.
Yeah, pea brain. It's really, it's not excusable, is it?
No, it's rude.
Especially if it's something that is makes you self-conscious.
Point out anything.
No, nothing.
Any physical attribute of a person if they can't change it.
No.
Like, if they've got some toilet roll stuck to their foot, by all means.
Isn't that some rule that you don't point something out unless it can take 5 seconds to fix?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you've got spinach
in
your teeth.
You've got lipstick on your teeth, yeah.
You're fine.
You've got...
It's a good rule of thumb, isn't
you've
it?
You've got blood on your face. Like, something like that. That happened to me in work.
So. Was it a spatter?
Yeah.
Like, across your face?
That's amazing. Oh my God, I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, gross.
You don't want to hear about it, do you?
Oh, yeah, I love hearing about teeth.
Do you?
Yeah, I love teeth stories.
Well, I was this woman, and she was really nervous, and I was taking... Sometimes it's difficult to take a tooth out, even with the best will in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I struggled. We got the tooth out in the end, and I was sitting there holding her hand, going, right, I don't want you to be... to take this as, like, your only experience of dentistry. I want you to come back and see me, and even if it's just for a chat, because you had probably the most difficult thing you could possibly have done, and you came through it.
Oh,
outstanding, well done.
You're such an outstanding dentist.
But I had a splatter of blood at my face from her mouth.
Oh, no. Yeah. So she was there staring
at me. I was like, looking like some sort of crazy psycho killer. And then I'm like...
Did you ever see her again?
I can't remember. I think I did. I'm sure, I don't know. It was years ago. I hope I did. And then she left, and my nurse was like, you got blood all over your face.
Cool. Could you have told me that, maybe?
Yeah, why didn't you tell me that before? Before I started counselling her?
Yeah.
Jesus.
She just, padded it, like a surgeon's assistant.
Or just gestured like that, like behind the woman's back. It was so embarrassing. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
God knows.
Well, I think the pep talk was lovely anyway.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. I must have looked... She probably wasn't even listening to me, to be honest.
Just hyperventilating.
Yeah. There's a murderer talking to me. Oh, no. So, dark circles are more pronounced in certain ethnic groups and seen in multiple members of the same family.
Mm.
So, you know, you just... It's just bad luck, isn't it? You know, it's not necessarily caused by being tired or anything. It's just the way it is sometimes. It's caused by multiple etiological factors, include dermal melanin deposition, post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation secondary to atopic or contact dermatitis, periorbital edema, which means swelling, superficial vasculature, and shadowing due to skin laxity. So, you know, there's just, it could be a sort of combination of lots of things or just one thing. Yeah, so they've done sort of studies to try and figure out what it could be. And it's talking about the pigmentation could be treated with a carbon dioxide laser.
Wow.
So literally just sort of destroying the skin to get rid of the pigmentation. So that's one solution for that particular issue. So, yeah. You know, like, you've got kind of pigmentation under your eye. It's not the same thing as a naturally pigmented under eye, really. You've got melasma.
Yeah.
So, so you're using hydroquinone.
Tretinoin now. Tretinoin.
But the hydroquinone worked better, didn't it? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I'm going to go back to it. And do they recommend that for this sort of pigmentation?
It doesn't, in this little paragraph anyway, it doesn't say anything about it, but They just said laser.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that sort of tightens the skin tissues, improves the surface texture.
Okay.
Post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation secondary to, like, eczema. Like, right. We have a friend with eczema, and she, mm-hmm. her under eye sometimes looks a bit bad, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Although she had surgery.
She did have surgery, mm-hmm. yeah. She didn't, not laser, was it?
She actually had surgery to remove, because there was a big fatty deposits there as well.
Yeah. I guess that's all part of... So what happens after the inflammation all wears down, isn't it?
So is that what they mean by edema then, in that case?
Yeah.
That they've...
Yeah, because it's been swollen because of the inflammation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
So her solution was a blepharoplasty.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the surgeon said to her... There was a particular type of surgery that she selected, and he said, I really don't think that's going to do much.
Oh, really? But she had it done anyway.
No, so he recommended something else. Okay. So either she had two surgeries, or she had a very good surgeon who recognised that what someone else had suggested she have done was not the best course of action.
Yeah,
I think she might have had two surgeries, though.
Because I remember her saying that she was thinking about having laser for the texture of the mm-hmm. skin. So it sort of she improved the contour with the blepharoplasty.
Yeah, really did as well.
Did it? Amazing. I don't think I saw her before.
No, don't think so. But it really makes a huge difference. Because again, it doesn't... I wouldn't say it would have aged her particularly, but it would have made her...
Just makes her look a little
exhausted.
Bit...
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did look tired. Never told her that, obviously.
No. She looked lovely. Yes. No, you can't.
But for her, it was her confidence. Course.
Yeah, it's no good, is it?
No.
So, what's the solution that they recommend?
Apart from laser?
I didn't say anything. Okay, thanks. So, periorbital edema seems to have a... So the eyelid region seems to have a spongy property that helps the accumulation of fluid in systemic or local edema situations. Diagnostic features that suggest eyelid fluid deposit include worsening in the mornings or after a salty meal. So there's a difference between having just fat deposits under your eye and having edema. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you wake up in the morning, it's there, and it's not there in the evening, then it's probably just a bit of swelling. So
Why would fat deposits be there?
Because you've got a fat pad, like your face, the inside of your face is sort of covered with pads of fat.
Okay.
And as you get older, they start to succumb to gravity.
Okay.
So you get these, like, sort of bags of fat tissue.
Yeah.
Because the skin is loose.
Right.
There's nothing really to hold it up.
Okay.
It doesn't, and it sort of troughs down.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you're looking at, blepharoplasty, sort of dissolving that fat.
Okay.
If it's swelling, then what do you do? You know, it depends what it is, doesn't it? So, you know, you've got to avoid salt and alcohol and sleep in an upright position.
Oh, Christ. No thanks.
Yeah, I know. And then there's also the possibility, so you could just have, like, superficial veins under your skin. So some people have very fair, thin skin. It just looks a bit blue underneath their eyes because the skin is thin. And then you could naturally just have a sort of a depression, so that if you haven't got much fat underneath your eyes, then it just looks like a sort of hollow. So, treatment.
Is that going back to people with eating disorders noticing because they don't have enough fat underneath there?
Maybe, yeah. Because it didn't really explain
that. Would make sense, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, treatments to treat dark circles are bleaching creams.
Whoa.
Which I think means hydroquinone. I don't think it means bleach.
Yeah. But, again, I just... The thought of it going that close to your eye,
I know. Yeah. That very, very thin skin.
But hey, if it works,
but then,
it works.
Yeah, if it's that or laser, then
you
might want to go for the hydroquinone.
Yeah.
So retinoic acid, chemical peels, laser therapy. And despite the great number of available topical medication and creams, there's no evidence-based study to support their use. So basically, you know, anything by the ordinary.
Yeah.
It's not going to make that much difference to dark circles.
Yeah.
So the ladies going on the ordinary chat room, then there isn't anything by the ordinary that is likely to help with their dark circles.
You need a prescription.
Yeah, prescription or go to a clinic and have something done.
Yeah.
So laser, so carbon dioxide laser is one of the ones that was studied and that had good results.
Carbon dioxide laser?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't really know. It's laser's really hard. I did it in my uni course. I didn't fully understand. It's like energy is blasted at a substance and photons are released at different wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a crystal, like ruby. So there's ruby lasers, carbon dioxide lasers, other types of laser. ND-YAG laser. I don't know what is blasted in that laser, but that's a very commonly used laser. The photons travel a different wavelength, and depending on the wavelength, they blast a different thing. So, there's a wavelength for melanin, and there's a wavelength for tattoo ink.
Okay.
There's a wavelength for blue tattoo ink and red.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have your tattoo lasered, say, it will get rid of the black, but maybe not the green.
Yeah.
So you'll end up with a weird green tattoo. Things like that.
Is that what they say not to? Is blue tattoo ink or green tattoo ink the worst?
Yeah.
Green?
One of them is... Different black is best. Stick with black. Because it's easiest to remove.
Because
you'll need a different sort of laser for each colour.
Wow.
If you've got a really multicoloured one, it won't be very easy to remove. You'll have to have lots of different sorts of lasers.
I can't imagine anything more painful.
Yeah, I think it really, really hurts. Like, way more than the tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend's got a tattoo parlour and says now sort of 6% of his income is tattoo removal.
Yeah.
Which is just bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he said there are some terrible... He would always go for a cover-up rather than tattoo removal. Yeah. Because can you imagine the state of your skin afterwards? Yeah.
It would just feel like you'll have a scar.
Yeah,
in the shape of your tattoo.
Having third-degree burns that you know, going
sure
out
I've
in the
seen,
sun.
I saw a woman on the street who had, like, instead of a tear-shaped tattoo next to her eye, she had a tear-shaped scar, but she'd had it removed, and the colour had gone, and it was just...
I'd just leave it there and cover it.
Don't
do that.
Just don't get a tattoo on your face.
I think that means you've killed someone, doesn't it, the teardrop?
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she's killed someone.
In a Russian prison. Maybe not.
Yeah. So it's quite a tricky thing, I think. If you're going to research this stuff, trying to find a clinic that's local to you that has the laser that you're looking for, it must be quite hard to find a guy, you know, who try and sort of go to someone who's the most qualified to get advice and recommendations, So another idea for your dark circle needs is blepharoplasty, which we mentioned, and there's this study that we're looking at by Epstein in 1999, combined it with a deep depth phenol peel. So that is basically just dissolving the skin underneath your eyes.
Whoa.
Yeah, nasty recovery. But then that'll treat the texture of the skin and improve your collagen levels, as well as getting rid of any excess skin. So that's the ultimate, you know, that's...
Deep depth phenol chemical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
To treat hyperpigmentation of the skin. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Could I go for that?
Would you do it? Like, you know, you'll be 2 weeks out. You won't be able to do anything for 2 weeks. But you'll be transformed then. The maximum thing you can do. It's the thing that's most likely to work. But yeah, it won't be cheap, and it won't be easy to recover from either. And then if you're prone to pigmentation, a deep peel might make it worse.
Yeah, because you might get post-inflammatory
depigmentation. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the danger of
it.
Oh,
that sucks.
The more darker your skin is, the more prone you are going to be to this post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation.
Okay.
So deep peels are sort of, they're quite risky in people with darker skin types.
So that is, isn't it? Because it's always the way with pigmentation treatments.
You know,
there are so many different options, but then they're always the...
Yeah, because they're likely to irritate your skin. Yeah. They might make it worse.
Mm.
Yeah. So the conclusion of this study is that despite its prevalence and cosmetic importance, there are very few published studies in the scientific literature about dark circles. And I did a search and I couldn't see much. Even a good definition of this condition is lacking. We think the term infraorbital ring-shaped melanosis, as proposed by Watanabe et al.,
Japanese,
does not encompass its etiology in the global manner, as there is neither a general understanding about dark circles pathogenesis or a consensus about the major responsible features. Treatments are chosen in a simplified way, rendering suboptimal results. So I mean, it depends what's wrong with you, so you can't lump everybody in the same category, isn't it, really?
No, there could be many different reasons, like you say, genetic and...
Being tired, getting old. So, the main thing is use sun protection as a preventative measure. And then, if it's really distressing you, then there's laser resurfacing and chemical peels. The study didn't mention fillers, so that's quite a handy way of treating, like, a hollowing under the eye. And that works pretty well. There's a filler called Redensity 2 that's specifically designed for the under eye area.
Okay.
It's actually got like light reflective particles in it to sort of help sort of illuminate the under eye area.
Wow, how clever.
Yeah, it's the only filler that's licensed for the under eye.
Right.
So you've got to be quite careful with fillers because it's hyaluronic acid, they absorb water, so you can end up with big puffy under eyes.
Okay.
Trying to treat your hollows, you end up with eye
going
bags.
The other way. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you to find a aesthetician who knows what they're doing, who's done it before, and who knows about Redensity 2, because that's the only one that's licensed.
Is that pretty new then, Redensity 2?
I don't know. It's been around for a few years. I'm sure I've heard of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but new.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the light reflective.
I know.
That's like having
touche clap injected into your face.
Oh, perfect.
I know. It's sort of been a bit of a bleak subject, I think, isn't it? Because there's no easy solution, is there? Because your under eye is so thin, you can't take much.
Yeah.
And you want a simple solution that's not going to leave you, like, disfigured for a time afterwards or disfigured
or make things worse.
Yeah.
That's just the worst, isn't it?
And then, these deep treatments have risks involved.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to fix.
But at least there are non-surgical alternatives.
Yeah.
That do have proven results.
Yeah. So tretinoin can help. Especially with wrinkles.
Yeah.
Fillers. Botox could help with wrinkles.
Yeah.
Nothing easy to buy in a shop.
No.
Really?
No.
Stuff you get from your doctors by the sounds of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Caffeine might help. But it didn't help me.
No.
No.
Actually, let us know if those people who do suffer from under-eye puffiness, that caffeine helped. It was one of those 50-50 things.
Yeah. It was about...
Half the people just thought it was the best thing ever. But...
Yeah, I just
didn't notice it.
On the straw poll of the Facebook group, the ordinary Facebook group, it did seem like, about half of the people loved it and couldn't live without it. Well, like, it ran out and went out of stock and they were buying it off each other.
Yeah.
And then... Everyone else like doesn't do anything.
I gotta say, a really good quick fix that I didn't think would work with those gold collagen eye.
Yeah, it does help with the puffiness.
Such a good quick fix.
And
puffiness,
like,
and also
hydration.
The hollows. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah.
So, I think I went out like on a night out, and the night before, because I'm sad and almost 40, so you think about these things. I'm going out in 2 days' time.
So better what can these... I do?
Yeah.
Get my derma roll out, get my foreskin peptides, and
exactly.
some of these things under my eyes.
And I'll look at least 34. But it's a really good quick fix.
Yeah.
And just...
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah. So good. I bought mine really cheap off Amazon. I say really cheap. It was about $12.99.
Oh, yeah.
There's about 15 in there. They were good.
Yeah, I had some of the Pixie ones, Detoxify.
Were they plumpy ones?
Yeah.
Mm. With hyaluronic acid.
Yeah.
There's a lot of liquid in there as well, so I just rubbed it all over
my
face.
Yeah, it's like a sheet mask for your under eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good, but, you know, quick fix and very...
Yeah, not permanent.
No.
It's just going to last you for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, we couldn't have brought you better news about that.
It's always the same with something, anything pigmentation related, though, isn't it?
But if anyone tells you you look tired...
Break friends with them.
Yeah.
Just break friends.
Just punch them.
Yeah. Tell them they look tired then.
Yeah.
Not as tired as you.
I look tired. At least I'm not rude.
Yeah. Good one. My mum told me not to play with you. just don't speak to them.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Mm.
Don't talk to anyone who makes you feel bad about yourself, in fact.
Yeah.
I've got some really cool pictures on the Facebook group, the Skincare with Friends Facebook group.
I saw that.
Yeah, of a lady on Reddit who is, for no other reason other than for the benefit of everybody's faces, she's got a UV camera and has done experiments with it. So wearing sunscreen, taking photographs of the UV coverage throughout the day, and under makeup applied with a brush, with a sponge, and then all sorts of different SPF products.
I saw that. That was amazing. That was fascinating with her.
Yeah.
She did the swatch on her arm.
Yeah. It's really, really cool.
Mm. So you know, she had photos taken throughout the day. So she obviously just applied SPF and then took a photo 10 minutes later. So she just applied once and then took photos throughout
the
day.
Yeah, I think that's what the point was, like how it wears. And didn't look too bad after 4 hours.
Yeah.
8 hours, it wasn't really there at all.
It was like
all.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
Really
cool. So come and have a look. And I hope that you have nice under eyes. And
they're plump.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll speak to you soon. Any suggestions, give us a shout. I'm always on the chat room, the Facebook group, and the Instagram. Anything else to plug?
Don't think so. I'm going to America.
Oh my God.
I can't
You're
wait
plugging
to
go. You going to America.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to Sephora. I am
oh my God, no, you can't go to Sephora without me.
Well, I can't. Well, I won't be without you because I'm sure I'll have a list as long as my arm of things to bring back. So if you can think
Colourpop
of anything.
Colourpop eyeshadows.
Okay, I will bring back whatever you like. I'm not going to September, so you've got months to think about it. I'm going to San Francisco, guys. So any suggestions of where to go? I used to live there, but I haven't been there for so long, and I think it's changed so much. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a brilliant place.
Thanks, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, for having your bloody headquarters in the place that I used to live, so that I can't afford to stay there any longer.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's just everything is millions of pounds now.
Oh,
it's just
no.
ridiculous. So I used to live in the red light district called the Tenderloin.
The Tenderloin.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
It was a great place. It was really fun. But the rent was something like $1,200 a month between two of us.
Mm.
Now I was looking at, I can't even have a hotel there.
No.
It's just so expensive.
Shit.
So I'm staying in Oakland. But any suggestions of where to go, please let me know.
Yeah, because I think we probably do have some San Franciscan listeners.
We have some in California for sure.
Mm.
Anyway, Fantastic. Give us ideas of what Thanks to talk about next time and what to buy at Sephora.
Yes.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.